All of us would probably agree that the mind is a powerful thing. It can be powerful in a good way, or it can be powerful in a hard way. Something that we have to pay attention to is where our thoughts are going. There's a reason why scripture tells us to take our thoughts captive. We need to pay attention to what's going on. So whether you've been feeling discouraged in your parenting, or you just can't really seem to justify spending time on yourself when there's so much to do, or you're busy and there's always other people to take care of in your family, or your time with the Lord is just stale and boring to the point where it's really non-existent, and now you feel guilty about it not being a part of your life. I want these three mindset shifts to help give you a new perspective, to hopefully bring life into your motherhood, to help free you from some of the burdens that we place on ourselves, that are placed on us, and to release that and to live into the fullness of your motherhood. Welcome to Becoming a Mindful Mom. I'm your host, Courtney Tong, and I am a wife and a mom who believes that our spiritual life doesn't have to be stale and stoic, but that it can be beautiful and flowing into every part of our life, our marriage, and our motherhood. If you are tired of feeling overwhelmed, isolated, and simply surviving in motherhood, you are not alone. I want to equip you with the tools to have healthy boundaries, authentic connections with others, and a flourishing spiritual life. If you are ready to become the best version of you as a beloved daughter of the King, as a spouse, as a mom, as a friend, you are in the right place. I want you to go to the microwave, grab the tea or coffee that you already forgot about, throw some ice in it like we did it on purpose, and let's get started. I actually want to start off today's episode by reading a blessing to you from To Bless the Space Between Us by John O'Donohue. This book has been something that I found through my spiritual direction courses and just being kind of in that world. And I've loved it. There's just a variety of different blessings for different seasons or different things you're going through. So today we're going to read, appropriately, For the One Who is Exhausted. Now, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. But if you're listening to this at home, I want you to just pause. I want you to let these words just flow over you. And if there's something that you really want to sit with, I would encourage you to rewind it back and maybe listen to it again and let it minister to your heart. When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic, time takes on the strain until it breaks. Then all of the unattended stress falls in on the mind like an endless, increasing weight. The light in the mind becomes dim. Things you could take in stride before now become laborsome events of will. Weariness invades your spirit. Gravity begins falling inside of you, dragging down every bone. The tide you never valued has gone out, and you are marooned on unsure ground. Something within you has closed down, and you cannot push yourself back to life. You have been forced to enter empty time. The desire that drove you has relinquished. There is nothing else to do now but rest and patiently learn to receive the self you have forsaken in the race of days. At first, your thinking will darken, and sadness will take over like listless weather. The flow of unwept tears will frighten you. You have traveled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to the small miracles you rushed through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. Stay clear of those vexed in spirit. Learn to linger around someone of ease who feels that they have all the time in the world. Gradually, you will return to yourself, having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells far within slow time. I love it. Every time I read it, I've read it several times. I just love it. I think it is beautiful. And I know he's not talking specifically to moms or like moms in postpartum season, but so much of that applies, like not feeling like yourself or just being able to do things before that you're like, I can't just put my mind to it and do it like I did before. I just love that. So today we're going to be looking at three different categories for these mindset shifts. So the first one is going to be a mindset shift in our parenting, a mindset shift in our self, and a mindset shift with how we view and interact with God. So the first one is parenting. This is something that I have learned. I am in the middle of relearning, and it's kind of rocking my world a little bit. The first one is parenting is not linear or a checkbox, but it's cyclical. Someone had shared with us when our son was like pretty young, you know, to not get discouraged if he learns something and then seems to forget it. And that, you know, it's kind of this like, okay, so they're learning and then going back and kind of two steps forward, one step back. So I had kind of wrestled with that and let that go, because as a mom, when you're watching, especially your first time, like with your kids, you're watching them learn something, you're super excited, and then they seem to regress and you're going, what happened? Did I do something wrong? Or is something wrong with them? Do I need to take them in? And of course, like, we are our children's advocate. We need to pay attention. And if they need more help or more attention or, you know, some kind of therapy, that's fine. But there's also, you know, kind of this pattern of, okay, they're going to go backwards a little bit and then keep going forward and then backwards and forward. So that relieved a lot of stress and pressure for me as I was entering motherhood. But now we are in the season of the toddler, 3-year-old, you know, we're starting to drop the nap because he was staying up so late. Once we got home, we were dropping the nap at his little preschool, and it has been rough. This sleep regression, I feel like, is a big term that I didn't realize enveloped so much. And I just felt very discouraged and very tired when that happened. And shifting to that cyclical mindset kind of reminds me of the Israelites in the Old Testament. I'm not saying his sleep patterns are sinful, but there is a cyclical pattern there as well, where, you know, they would be following God and then they would start to get distracted and they would, you know, fall into sinful patterns, and then God would send a prophet and warn them, and then they would repent, and then they would be good with God, and then they would fall back into sinful patterns, and yada, yada, yada. I mean, you just watch it over and over and over. I remember one of my Old Testament classes, we're like, and here's the cycle again. Viewing it as this cyclical pattern, it's all around us in nature, but I think especially as Westerners, we're so used to just making progress. So to feel like we've reset is really discouraging. So I want to encourage you, mom, you're just at a different part of the circle, and hang on, because it's going to get better. And it might, you know, come back down again at some point, but through that, we're also growing ourselves. So the, you know, if I'm at one part of the circle today and I'm, you know, back at that circle later at a new season, I'm a different person, right? I've grown through each part of that circle, that cycle. And each time around, there's growth there. I'm learning. And so I'm experiencing it differently. And speaking of learning and growing, the second thing is self-care is not sinful. If you're never attending to your own mind and soul and heart and body and wellness, then you're not going to be doing so hot as a mom. It really does affect us. Soul care and self-care, you know, there had kind of been this like, well, we don't need self-care, we need soul care. And like, sure. But I think that to delineate an extreme difference between those two is dangerous. It can villainize the self-care part and put false expectations on this soul care. And I think that we have to be careful about that. While we still take care of our soul and we tend to our soul, which is critical, it's not at the loss of the other. We're not saying, oh, well, I took care of my soul, so I'm good. I'm good to go. God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, verses 19 and 20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God with your body. Again, one is not at the expense of the other. Soul care and self-care, I feel like as believers and as moms with littles, like it's so important for us to address both. So important. I want you to shift that mindset that if you are taking care of yourself and you're saying, hey, I need a minute, that's not sinful or selfish or wrong. It's not. Please do that. Because you know what? If you set those boundaries and you take some time or you ask for help, you're going to show up and be a better mom. You're going to show up and be a better wife. But so often it can seem like we're being selfish. And so I need to just sacrifice. And you know what? Jesus didn't even do that. Jesus said, I need to go take some time away. I need to spend time with God. And it was two parts, right? He was spending time with God, fellowshipping with God for his soul. He also did it to rest his body. Because there was also a physical component to it. It wasn't just, oh, he prayed more and he was good. No, he took times of rest. And we need to do the same thing. I love that line in the blessing that I read for us that said, be excessively gentle with yourself. Be excessively gentle with yourself. This was a hard point for me when I became a mom and people were like specifically with body image, right? Well, your body did so much, so we just need to be grateful, and kind of almost this dismissive, well, it's just your body, so it is what it is. But like, be grateful because it gave birth. And again, while that is true, I just wasn't satisfied with that. That just didn't work for me. It is being excessively gentle with yourself, giving yourself grace, recognizing your body is amazing, mama. Whatever you did to give birth, or even if you, let's say, adopted or you're a step parent, the fact that you're willing to step in and to parent with all that you are. If you adopted a little one, that meant the sleepless nights, that meant, this could be coming in at any context. One thing that I found was helpful was viewing this body, this, physique where we are today, as kind of like a version two. I have a background in video editing, and when I thought about this, I was like, this is brilliant. Why didn't I think of this before? I had heard someone say, yeah, I don't want to have my postpartum body. I want to be stronger and like mom strong. And I was like, yeah, I like that. And then when I was thinking about it as a version two, as we're editing, we have different iterations. And when we decide to go from 1.1, 1.2, 1.3 to say, I'm going to go to version two, means I'm making a drastic change. And it's getting better. It's only getting better. But it looks different. It looks different than version one. I really love this because I think that's true, right? As you are taking care of yourself, this is not just to achieve where you were or to reset. We will always be changed and be different. But as moms, we get to be version two. What does this look like for you? How do you be the best version of yourself in this season, even if that version looks different than before? Only you can answer that. Again, it's going to look different for every person, but what would that look like for you? Take time to think about that. What would it look like for me to be version two of myself, even better, growing, and not just longing for what was, and then kind of spiraling into this depression and sadness because it's going to look different? It's going to look different. But I am so excited to see what comes to your mind and what God is able to do through that mindset shift of, okay, I don't need to reset. I need to work on the next iteration. It's still me. There's still grace. There's still so much gratitude that I was able to give birth or to become a parent. Now let's step into version two. I love number three. Number three is time with God should be a linger versus a list. And what I mean by that is our spiritual practices can often just become to-do lists and checklists and things that we're just, I'm just too tired. I can't do it. It's not life-giving. It's not something that we rely on. And God isn't keeping tally of your spiritual disciplines. He's not going, oh, she skipped out on prayer yesterday, or oh my goodness, she only read one chapter and not the whole Bible reading plan for today. Oh gosh, okay. Steps for improvement there. No, that's not what he's doing. He wants you to just enjoy spending time with him. He wants you to linger with him. He wants you to be with him. And in order to do that, sometimes we have to reset what that looks like. We have to reset kind of our internal clock and our spiritual expectations, right? If we've been told, okay, you need to wake up early and do your devotion in the morning and start your day right, spend time with God, and you're going, God, I can't. I mean, I was up three times last night and I just can't wake up before the baby, because as soon as I get up, the baby starts crying, or the babies are up waking me up because I'm exhausted. It could look all kinds of ways. So we have this burned in our brain of what is the right or the expected way to do it. When we reset it and take the obligation out of it and we just want to linger, I want to encourage you to stop and listen. Okay, so maybe you're not doing the whole to-do list, but if you start to pay attention to your heart and the desires, the holy desires that God is placing on your heart, and when that moment comes, pause. Listen to that. Give space for that. Space is going to look different, and how long that is going to look different. But if you feel a prompting, you're remembering a Bible story and you want to go look that up and spend time in that passage and spend time with him, go do that. If you're just feeling grateful for something, pause. Pause and offer that gratitude back to the Lord. That's a form of prayer, offering that to him. Other ways this can look like is just pausing. If you just feel like he's just asking you to pause and just be in that moment, do it. Pause. It could be play. Oh, I just really want to go kick a soccer ball, or I really want to go walk at the park. Go do it. Go do it. Go take care of yourself. I know for myself and a lot of my friends, we had creative ventures that we were doing before. So whether that was with cameras or with a canvas or maybe even your house, right? We remodeled our house, and I actually love using power tools. And when we had our son and we were in this new house, he was in the playpen. Like, I have videos of him just like bopping around while I'm doing my thing. And we made it work, right? When we had to paint, you know, I had to ask my husband to take him in the other room so that I could do what I needed to do. But we made it work. So if you feel a desire or a prompting to create, acknowledge that. Make space for that. And that doesn't have to be every day or this habitual thing. We're starting to notice the desires that God places on our heart, and give space for that. Give space for that. He's going to meet you there. When we pause and actually acknowledge what's going on, it could even be the hard emotions. God, I just feel sad. That's okay. Make space for that. Just sit with that. If God puts a friend on your heart, give him a call. Check on them. I think when we start to pay attention to this, this can radically shift. When we start to linger with God, when he starts to speak to us in those whispers and we're actually quiet enough to hear, it's beautiful. Okay, so these are the three things. I want you to work on shifting your mindset. When you start to see parenting as cyclical, it's not just linear or a checkbox. When you're able to realize that taking care of yourself is not sinful. And when you start to linger with God, he's going to start to transform you, transform your, again, your parenting, your marriage, your friendships, yourself, and your relationship with him. Thank you, sister, for joining me for today's episode. Whether you were preparing dinner, doing laundry, nursing the baby, or commuting to work, I am glad that you brought me along for the journey. And I would love to connect with you over at Instagram or our Facebook group, both of which are linked in the show notes. Or you can shoot me an email. I would love to hear from you.
Don't forget, Fish Bobby, you feel.
All right, there you have it, folks. Straight from the mouth of babes, that's my son. If you are blessed or encouraged by this episode, it would mean so much to me if you would take a quick moment and leave a review. And if you have a mom friend that you think needs to hear this episode, be sure to share it with them as well. All right, girlfriend, may you continue to rest in the peace of God amidst the craziness of motherhood. Meet you back here next week.